Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready to go into the Word of God. The Word of God is so powerful and so important to our life. And so as I share this Word today, Father, it will be the difference between life and death in people's lives. That's how I look at it. The Word is so important because it can make the difference between life and death for our lives. And so today, I pray that everyone gets a hold of what I'm going to share, because there might be a time in their life when they'll have to look to this particular message, this particular understanding, so that will be life for them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay. Number one, what I'm going to talk about is the message of faith. The message of faith. It's very interesting that over the years that I have been a part of churches and have been a part of what we call the Christian society, so to speak, I've learned some very interesting things. And one of the things that I've learned is that the church has developed the habit of destroying important things, important doctrine for our life by those who have handled it inappropriately. For an example, when the charismatic scene became real strong back in the 40s, we had wonderful men of God beginning to show the power of God, and they held tent meetings, and John, you were part of that era more than I was, and so we've seen a move of God in the power of God in a wonderful way. But along with that kind of particular move, we've also seen idiots, and brought a discredit to a wonderful thing that God had been able to break in and manifest itself through the church. And that was the power of God and the life of God. And yet, for some reason, men who have been used in that fashion have chosen not to be the examples they should be when they had this charismatic move, so to speak. God intended for it to be a blessing to the body of Christ and a blessing to society. But the very ones who were used in that fashion were also the downfall, so to speak, in the example that they carried on with their own lives being used by the power of God. Are you following what I'm saying? But it still doesn't discredit the fact that the charisma side of the gospel is vitally important for the body of Christ. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
It really is, because there has to be a supernatural manifestation. There has to be something that gives hope beyond natural hope when the kingdom of God is expressed, not only in the church, but to a dying world. It helps when God can break in on the scene supernaturally and give a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, a working of a miracle. Are you following what I'm saying? Or discerning of spirits. Or gifts of healing. These are all important, not only to the church, but also to the dying world, so to speak. Where there is no hope, there is hope, because God can still manifest Himself in His power on this planet Earth. Can I hear an amen?
Yeah, yeah.
Then there was a time period through Rita and Dennis Bennett, thank God, from our own country, our own territory. They came on the scene and they began to move in vast numbers over the known church, and what they began to do was begin to manifest the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit began to cross denominational barriers through one man who was Episcopalian. Praise God. God used that man's denomination as a signpost to the world. Just because you're a denomination, it doesn't mean that you can't have the Holy Spirit operating in your midst. Praise God, in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I never forget the first big meeting I ever went to. Dennis Bennett was there to preach. And I came out of an Assembly of God, which was very charismatic, believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, tongue-talking believers, so to speak. And then when I went and I saw this Episcopalian with this collar on him, and stand up there and begin to tell the awesomeness, the greatness of the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in another language, I'm saying, ooh, glory to God. The Holy Ghost is other places other than just the assemblies of God. They're out there in the Episcopalian. They're out there in the Lutherans. They're out there in the Methodists. Glory Glory to God. Amen. And so I seen God work in spite of denominational barriers. I seen a move of God that was so powerful through the Businessmen's Association, who I had an opportunity to minister to on several occasions. The full gospel businessmen came together. And I do believe that this farmer, this backside farmer, went and got all this together in spite of the denominational barriers. And we had a move of God even in the area of the businessmen. Glory to God. And then you saw just present day, what do they call it? This other move of men that our men went to, Promise Keepers. And I seen a move of God in Promise Keepers in a wonderful way in spite of denominational barriers. Men came together, not from the businessman's aspect, but from the worship aspect. And they come together and they worship God together and praise God together. Amen. Praise God. But I said all that to say this. I'm not finished with my message. In the process of all this, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit and this move of God, and we have entered into an age or time period where all of a sudden the church starts gathering what we call, quote, the pastoral ministry. It started to elevate itself, and the pastor and teacher's ministry become the most predominant factor in the body of Christ. And as a result of that, now we're entering into some of your largest churches in the world, what we call seeker-friendly churches now. And now we've backed off the charismatic side, and we backed off the speaking in tongues side, and we backed off of these wonderful things that God at one time intended for it to be a part of our heritage, but we backed off from them. And so we've started these mega churches now, and many of these people in these mega churches are not being transformed because some of the leaders of these churches have abandoned some very important aspects of the Holy Spirit and its ministry within the function of the church. We've got to keep the kingdom of God intact. Amen. We can't just resurrect church. We got to resurrect the power of God. We got to resurrect life. Amen. And we've got to stay true to our heritage and what we're all about in spite of people and numbers. We've got to stay true to our heritage. Amen. That's what it's about. I will always need the supernatural aspect of God in my life. I don't care what any of you buddy say. It don't matter what level of understanding I come to. I know in my walk with God, I'll always need a supernatural touch. I will need a prophecy. I'll need a tongue and an interpretation of tongue. I'll need a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. Amen. I'll need a gift of healing. You know, for my life, are you saying? So I don't want to do away with any of that aspect just because somebody else has abused it. Now I'm going to get down to what I'm going to talk about, the message of faith. Christians have put a bad name on the message of faith, just like they did on the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in another tongue. Most of the people that speak in tongues are weird. And God didn't cause us to have a heavenly language so that we can go around and turn everybody off. He gave us that language for number one purpose, to educate us spiritually beyond our own intellect. But men have turned and made a disgrace out of it. But that doesn't mean we throw it out. We don't throw out the baby with the bathwater, so to speak. You follow what I'm saying? The baptism is very important. And speaking in tongues, my gosh, that's our spiritual life. It's the language of my spirit, not my understanding or my head. Glory to God. It's how I can talk to God without my intellect being involved in it. Amen? Speaking in tongues is a beautiful thing. It's a supernatural thing. When I hear it, I appreciate it. When I hear it, I say, God, that is supernatural. Just as supernatural as a miracle itself. Glory to God for me to even do that. Amen. But when it comes down to the message of faith, so many people have gotten the wrong concept of it. They've tried faith. Faith was not, the message of faith wasn't so we can try it. That is not what faith is about. The message of faith is not a message that when we get into a crisis, we grab a hold of this doctrine of faith to bail us out. That's not what the message of faith is about. You know what the message of faith is all about? The message of faith, trust in God, is found in His Word. Glory to God. It's not a bailout doctrine. It's not some message we receive so when we get into a crisis, it can get us out of something. The message of faith is to change us and transform us into the very person of Jesus Christ, but it has its benefits as well. Amen. Now, I was teaching that God asked me one day, to define faith. To define faith. As I was meditating on how people have discredited the message of faith, talked against it, have taught doctrines against the message of faith. One of the doctrines that was presented by a leading evangelist was hyperfaith. Hyperfaith. You can have hyperfaith and discredited the doctrine of faith. And yours and my trust in the Word of God is not predicated on hyperfaith. It's predicated on a heart that's been fully persuaded, has a deep conviction that what God says is true. Amen. So, not only does it have a benefit that I can go into the promises of God and receive a benefit in my faith to receive healing, are you following, or mental deliverance, or spiritual life. Are you following? But the message of faith can also change me as a person. See, the message of faith is not just getting something out of God in the hour of crisis. It also is a message to my heart that changes me, makes me a lovely child of God, that makes me in a position that I hold forth the word of life. Glory to God. What do we have? A doctrine of salvation? No, there is no such thing as just a doctrine of salvation. That's only part of it. But the whole crux of our whole existence is that we observe a God through our faith. Glory to God. Glory to God. And so a lot of times it sounds like a boring subject to many of us who hear the message repeated so many times. You know, I have seen over the years, just recently I've seen a friend of mine who attends our service. I don't know whether you're here today or not. Your mother was diagnosed terminal cancer. And they've been in church for a long time. And his father was raised in church. And they came to see me and he brought him in. And so she started asking me questions and she hadn't heard the message of faith that much. And so as we're sitting there talking, his father began to express how he thought faith should be. And as he was sharing it, I was going, neat, bang, you know, the buzzer, neat, wrong. And so I'm sitting there and he just, but the thing was, what he was sharing with me basically is what the Christian mind had adapted to concerning the message of faith. And so, at the end of his conversation, he stood there and he was saying it from a sincere heart. He was not saying it, so he was coming against me. You follow what I'm saying? He was just saying, this is how I see it. You know? And I was kind of speechless. Because I got to thinking, if you believe that way, you're a dead man. And his wife leaned over and she looked at me and she said, you don't believe that, do you? She bailed me out. And I turned to her and I said, absolutely not. Because that gives us no groundwork for our faith. You know what? And he wasn't opposed to whatever she wanted. And so we gave her books. We got her some tapes. We told her, go home and feed on this. I shared with her how our faith operates and everything. Just here a little bit ago, he came to me and said, my mom has been declared clean of cancer. Hallelujah. Terminal cancer. Hallelujah. Clean. And so I asked him, I said, well, what do you attribute it to? Oh, man, she just took what you said, just face value, and she didn't question it, and she did it. Amen. Delivered. Came to me and said, Pastor, I want you to know, she's clean. Well, I'll tell you what, that kind of faith brings hope to you. That kind of faith encourages you. That kind of faith makes you realize that there is a God of hope. In spite of what you're going through, hopelessness. Sometimes you just have to back off your intellect and let God be God. You know what I mean? But the kind of faith that I want to talk about today is the kind of faith that has always been the faith that we need to understand. That is, faith is the kingdom of God. You might as well write this down. I want you to write this down. Faith is the kingdom of God that has seated itself in you and grows to the full potential God intended it to be in you. Faith was never designed to get you out of hopeless situations. Faith is designed to protect you. And even when hopeless situations come along, your faith will preserve you in it. Why do you think Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He was saying, in the world you're going to have affliction, you're going to have tests, you're going to have trials, but I have overcome the world for you. You can have faith in me, glory to God, and you will succeed regardless of the tribulation that comes your way. Glory to God. That's the goodness of God. That's the greatness of God. To provide everything. Now I'm going to tell you a proven fact. I've seen it 100%. Christians that lose a desire for the Word of God don't stand in the day of testing. Because there's nothing in them that they haven't kept the Word of God. For them to fight. You know, you have to fight fire with fire. Glory to God. You have to be greater than your opposition. And the Word of God has been designed to get you strong so that when opposition comes, then you have a right to say, I can be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Send your fiery darts and I'll quench every one of them with my shield of faith, you devil. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. But I'm convinced that many people will not allow their faith to grow is because there's too much of themselves in the way. Too much of fear of failing because they've got somebody else's testimony. Oh, they've tried that faith and it didn't work for them and they were godly people. You know something, people? You cannot compare yourself with another person's walk. You can't compare yourself with another person's heart. It is a personal, individual thing with you and God. And the promises of God are yea or nay. Are you following what I'm saying? And God didn't design for you to stretch your faith in the example that somebody else stretched their faith in and didn't succeed. Because the witness of men is not your answer. John the Beloved said, even though you have the witness of men, the witness of God is what's true. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, I want to capitalize on faith is the kingdom of God that seeded itself within you and have grown. You know, when I go over seed faith in the New Testament, the thing that got me every place that it's mentioned in the Bible, Jesus termed little faith. And you know what he had to say about those that had little faith? They didn't succeed. They failed. We have been taught as believers that if you even have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you should say to yonder mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea. And what Christians have read in there is that little mustard seed is what moved the mountain and cast in the sea, and it did not. There is no teaching in the Bible that a little mustard seed of faith will move a mountain. It said, as a grain, though it be the smallest seed in all the earth, it grows. It grows into a tree. He's saying, this is the kind of faith that will move a mountain. It starts as a seed. It grows in the guy till it shoots out a great branch. It is a developed faith that moves the mountain. Praise God. Praise God. I said, Lord, what you're showing me about our New Testament faith is incredible. It's incredible. It's just too good to be true. God said, that's why you got to quit looking at it through your ability and look at it through my ability. Glory to God. Too many of us, in the process of time, have destroyed things around us. It's fallen down around us. And then when there's nothing left, then we go, I've got to do something with my life. I've got to fire my faith up. And then all of a sudden we get dedicated and we get focused. But in the meantime, everything's dead around us. And God never wants any of us to come to that kind of conclusion in our life. He wants us to grow. And with every step of the years, the months, the weeks, the days, every step, He wants us more prosperous than where we've been. And if we haven't been there, then there's something wrong with us. We blame other people. We look to other things and other situations, circumstances. I'm as successful as I want to be in spite of people. If I let people be my demise, then they will be my demise. But if I let myself be accountable to my own faith, then I'm seeking out my salvation with fear and trembling. Praise God that I'm doing it on my own. Are you following me? So that my faith not only benefits me, it benefits others. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So I want to share something with you about this faith that grows in us to its full potential as God would intend it. You've got to understand the Old Testament, their faith operated by a hope that was future tense. You've got to understand that. Their faith was operating in a future tense. Our faith today doesn't operate that way. Our hope is not a future tense hope. Our hope is a past tense hope. Well, what kind of hope is that past tense? Well, the hope that we cling to is a completed work that is found in Jesus. Not a faith that's going to come about future, but a faith that really is anchored in something that's already been done, completed. There's no more we can add to or take away from it. Our faith is anchored. Our soul is anchored on the redemptive work of Jesus Christ in all areas of our life. We can't add anything more to it. When our faith is stepping out and we need something from God, it's predicated on what He's already provided for us, not what we hope to get, but what has already been promised us. See, our faith today works off of this kind of faith. You know, again, I want to say that we used to get into the Synoptic Gospels. You know what? I went in and I was reading about the centurion soldier, and I thank God because my mentors had told me that this is a kind of faith that gets you healed. It was a faith in the people that got them healed. Yes, amen. I can say yes, amen. Glory to God. But as much as glory is found in their faith getting something from God, it doesn't compare to our faith today in what it's anchored on, because we can't go back in time and look for the person of Jesus to meet our need like the centurion soldier did. We got to go back to the Word of God on the completed work that's already established in His Word. And that's what our faith is anchored in, because we can't reach across the void and bring Jesus out of heaven down to meet our need. That's not what our faith is based on. It's based on the need He's already given us. Glory to God. When I saw that man, it freed me up. It just freed me up. I can rely on my faith. I don't question it no more in my mind. I don't find out whether it's God's will or not. If it's in His will, it is mine. That's why my confession's different. Are you guys getting something today? And you cannot have success in your heart with the promises of God when all of a sudden God dictates to you your faith. I've had some people say, well, I believe I'm going to have it because God told me so. Where did He tell you? Well, He spoke it to me one morning. How? From this realm here. I said, well, that's good, but what about the Word? Is it in the Word? You know, if I hear a voice here or hear a voice in my heart, and yet even though I've heard it in my heart, even though I can trust that voice in my heart, I still have to go to the Word and say, is it there? Because we have to give an account to the Word. That's the only way it'll work. I don't care whether I hear a voice out here. I want to know if that voice matches this voice. Because there's only one way He speaks to me in this New Testament way, and that's through Jesus, His Son. As great as the centurion soldier was, he had the witness and person of Jesus on planet Earth, and he could send his servants to Jesus. And he trusted in Jesus. But you and I don't have Jesus over some other state where we can go to Jesus and get a word from Him personally and come back. He's already established it in the Word. My faith is not sense knowledge faith. My faith is based upon the account of the Word of God. And I got to make sure I know the Word of God. If I don't know the Word of God, it's life and death to me. If there's anything that Satan can keep me from understanding the Word of God, for my faith not to trust in it, then he'll nail me. He'll take me out. Jesus says, I have a whole planet of people that is up here that died before their time. Ooh. Glory. Glory. Hebrews 4. 4:1. Glory to God. In Hebrews 4:1, the book of Hebrews is a powerful book because it really tells us about our operation of faith. In Hebrews 4:1, it says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into the rest, that any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preach did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Whew. Now, jump down to verse 12. "For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and of spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that was not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked." Now, in the King James it says, "and opened unto." Actually, in the Greek it says, "having been laid open." Laid open. "To the eyes of him whom we have to do wrong." This is how it's worded in the Greek. Now, I want to read this verse out of the Greek, and I want you to catch it. Close your eyes and listen to what I'm going to say. Close your eyes. Don't look at your Bible. Just close your eyes and listen. I'm going to give you that verse in the Greek. "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are uncovered and exposed, having been laid open to the eyes of him with whom to us the word is our account." To us the word is our account. You see, the translators made it sound like that we are now, everything's been laid open to him whom we have to give an account. But the word says that all things have been laid naked and open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do, whom we must give an account to the word that he has left us. The word he's left us. The word he's left us. That's whom we have to give an account to. How many got what I'm saying? Glory to God, you've got to get a hold of it, because this will set you free. When you get into a situation where it's a life and death thing, you can do just like that beautiful lady did that was diagnosed terminal cancer. You can get into the Word, and you can sit there and be obedient to the Word, and it will work for you. You see, I used to take my faith and test it. Oh, I hope this is really going to work. I hope it's really... You ain't going to get nothing, Jack. Because you'll always have a doubtful mind. Kenneth Hagin said, doubt will always be in your head, but you can still believe with your spirit. The only way you can believe with your spirit is by obedience. Your head will rob you every time. I hope you guys are getting this. Now, let's labor to enter into this rest. What is this rest? Well, the Bible speaks of several different types of rests. Are you ready? You're going to love this. For those of you who hadn't heard this, some of you might not have been in service on a Wednesday night. But you're here Sunday morning. You're going to get it. Are you ready? The Bible speaks of several different meanings for the word rest. Are you ready? Now, we just covered the two verses. For the Word of God does something. It does what? It dissects the complete man. And determines the heart. The next verse says, therefore the word was designed because everything was laid open in the eyes of God with whom, what? We have to do? Absolutely. Whom we have to do what? To give a response to him. Right? Well, the word in the Greek there in that verse means to whom we have to give an account to the word. The word. The word. The word, right? Okay, he starts this verse off, verse 4, by this one statement. Let us therefore labor. You know what that word in the Greek means? Hard work. I got to thinking, that's one thing I don't want to do, is to labor hardly. I want to hardly labor. Yeah, you know what I mean? I used to work for Billy. Billy knows what I mean. Don't need to say anything. But that's usually our mentality. We don't want to labor. Do any hard work for labor. You know, we want it as easy as can be. But here he says, make it an effort, a struggle. To do what? To rest. Like I'm thinking, well, that ain't hard for me. In the natural, it's not. Well, what about you're in a situation where it's hopeless? Well, then, he gave us something here to bless us. You know what he said? He said, labor to enter into your rest. Labor to enter into a rest. Now, here's what I was taught. That rest there is referring to a Sabbath. Well, that's only partly true. But here's the other meanings to this word rest in the Greek. It means a relieving of stress or pain. When you enter into a rest, it means a relieving of stress or pain. Another one of entering into a rest is referring to natural sleep. Some people don't even know how that do that today without pills. To enter into a natural sleep. The other word for rest means to give intermission from labor to refresh yourself. Just like when people are working for you, like you're a contractor and they're working for you. Billy has it set up to where you give 2 15-minute breaks a day, right, in between the 8 hours, besides their lunch. Well, the reason that you give them the breaks is for them to refresh themselves during their work day. Amen? Now, are you ready for this? Another type of rest that the Bible speaks of is for one to be at peace with themselves. This is where their faculties, their will, their heart, their imaginations, and their conscience is working together in such a harmonious state that they're at peace with themselves. We're living in a world where nobody is at peace with themselves. Are you following me? They're always struggling with themselves. And they take it out on others because they're not at peace with themselves. Are you following me? But when I looked up the Greek word here for rest, let us labor, therefore, to enter into this rest that he's speaking of there. You know what the Greek word is? The Greek word meaning here means a participation in a completed work of another person. A participation in a completed work that somebody else performed on your behalf. You know what kind of rest this is referring to? It's referring to something that you're going to have to labor to do and find that somebody else already did it for you and gave you the credit. I use the example of when I was painting for Billy there on the base. What would happen if Billy commissioned me to go to a unit and paint the whole inside and I go there and I find it all painted? And so I asked some of the people that are present, who painted this facility? Well, somebody came in here and painted the complete inside of the house and they want you to take credit for it so you don't have to paint it. Oh, and I'm going to get credit for that? Yeah, you can have the credit. So then I step out of that house. It's already done. I checked it out. It's perfect. And I go to the next house that Billy had given me to paint. And I run into the same scenario. Hey, this house is already painted. You don't have to paint it. Well, there was a crew in here that painted it ahead of you. And they want you to get credit for what they did. Now, what kind of a nut would I be? Well, I'm being paid by Billy to paint the house. I don't care if it's freshly painted. I'm going to paint it anyway. Well, the people sitting there look at me like, what a nut. Faith doesn't speak on this wise. I will ascend into heaven. That is, pull something out of God that he's already given me. My faith is benefited on fearing least a promise being left me of what already belongs to me. My faith doesn't operate on the fact that I could send one of my servants to the household of Jesus and say, come. Just send your word only. Oh, how beautiful that is. Because I know your words have power. Well, people, I got news for you. Jesus is the same Jesus that walked the shores of Galilee, is the same Jesus that is walking planet Earth today. Are you following me? But He's already obtained everything that our faith is based on. It already belongs to us. If you want something so bad, Jesus wanted you to have it so bad, He already bought it for you. Glory to God. Glory to God. I wish I could get this across to many people. Well, today your faith, here's what it's based on. The substitutionary work of Christ. It's based upon the completed works that you find in Christ's redemption. On sanctification, justification, righteousness, the new creation, we've been born again, and also His intercessory work, the seating at the right hand of the Father. That's what our faith is based on. Oh, glory to God. Here's how I used to see Jesus. We come to Him for a petition. This is what we need, and I see Jesus. Oh, it's one of mine. Father, give it to him. Give it to him. But that's not what that's referring to. When it says his work is intercessory, it literally meant that when He was seated at the right hand of the Father, His intercessory work is completed. He has stood in the gap for us. So that when we come to Him for what we need, Him sitting right hand at the right hand of the Father, it's given testimony of the Father. See, Father, this is the reason why I stood in the gap for them. And Father says, yes, amen, it's theirs. But the only thing that activates the kingdom of God, are you ready? It is not God. It is not Jesus. They are not sitting there on a daily basis activating your petition. They're sitting there on a daily basis receiving your petitions. Your faith is working, predicated on the basis of His intercessory work that has already been done in the earth. You're the one that makes your faith work. Not God, not Jesus. Your faith will make you whole. That's why so many Christians stumble over the simplicity of faith. They think it's convincing God to do something on their behalf, when literally your faith operates off of a completed work. You're standing in a position of strength of what already belongs to you. Your confession is different. Your confession is, this is what the promise was given me. Therefore, I receive this promise. It is mine. Therefore, devil, move. If I have to wait for a prophecy to confirm it, I've already sunk in the water. Did you guys get this? We'll stop there. Hallelujah. 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 You younger kids, you younger generation, get ready. Where God has opened the door of opportunity of understanding the Word of God, we're going to have a different church. We're going to have an army that's going to move forward. Hallelujah. Not one looking for confirmation. One that has already been confirmed through the Word and going forth in the deliberate will of God and taking dominion. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Stand up, everybody. Glory to God. 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 Oh, we've got some wonderful things ahead of us, people. Not only for this church, but we've got some wonderful, God has got some wonderful things ahead for you. Because the church will grow in the knowledge of God. And more God's Word will be placed in the hands of the believer, and they won't be prone to deception. They'll move forward in the light of God's Word, and they will have victory. Glory to God. God intended for the church to have victory, and it will have its victory before He returns. Glory to God. It will have its victory before it returns. Glory to God. It will have its victory before He returns. Hey, you believe that? You believe that? We're a team together with the kingdom of God. We're a team together with heaven that's in the third heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Glory to God. We're there. We might as well get into more of the facts of this thing. So start exercising more of what belongs to us. But I started this message off with saying, because we've had the testimony of idiots, it's turned us off. But you know something? There's a future for the church. They will forget those who have misappropriated the gospel, because there will be a future church that will be glorified through the revealed will of God. Do you guys believe it? Oh, I hope you do. Praise God. God has, in my hour, probably one of my greatest times of discouragement, God spoke some things to me that was so contrary to my position as a pastor. But you know what He told me? It was just like He just overlooked all that I was going through. And He said, Jan, He says, why don't you take your community from me? You know, sometimes you go to God frustrated, discouraged, down. Oh, God, help me. Help me, God. Do you have no idea what I'm going through? And then God breaks in on you and says, oh, by the way, son, why don't you take your community for me? Well, you know, God, I don't mind doing that, but right now I can't take my church for me. What's the deal here? It's just like He overlooks all your little problems and says, hey, now look here. This is what I want you to do. No, but you don't understand, God. Because He doesn't view our situation according to us. He views it according to what He can do in spite of us.
I just don't feel like I'm being very successful in life.
Because you've got your eyes on the wrong thing. Your success is never predicated on you anyway. It's predicated on what He is in you. That's why the devil fights the understanding of what Christ is in you, because that is the hope of His glory. Christ in you is the hope of His glory, not yours. Did you guys get something here today? Father, with every head bowed, every eye closed, Father, as we go ahead and conclude this service, Father, I pray this morning that if there's anybody here, whether or not they're saved, and maybe they've said the sinner's prayer, but they've gotten out of your fellowship and out of your word and begin to wonder if they were even saved. Father, today we can pray with them and make them feel confirmed in their commitment of salvation. Hallelujah. And Father, if there's any believers today that have broken fellowship and come to church this morning and they want to renew that fellowship, renew that stand with you, we want to pray with them so that when they leave today, they can leave cleansed. They can leave feeling victory in the heart. They can leave without condemnation ridden them. Hallelujah. We want to pray for them also. And if there'd be anybody here that has never been baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in heavenly tongues, that is the language of your spirit, we want to lay hands on you for that baptism. If you fit any one of those three areas, this is what I want you to do. I don't want you to feel ashamed. I don't want you to feel backward. But I want you to get up from your seat right now. Don't hesitate. In any one of those three areas, I want you to come out and step up here. We're not going to do anything to embarrass you. But if you feel that you're questioning your salvation, or if you want to receive Jesus, we want to give the opportunity to pray for you. If you want to be back into fellowship and want us to pray with you, we want to pray with you. If you want the baptism of the Holy Ghost, feel free to come up here. Anybody, feel free to do that right now. Anybody, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We have some wonderful altar ministers here that will minister to you. Hallelujah. Talk with you. Don't hesitate. If you have any question within your heart where you're at, don't hesitate. Please come up. Anybody? Hallelujah. Anybody? We'll wait just a few minutes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Powerful prophecy that went forward this morning. Amen. Did you guys get a lot out of that? That was powerful. Sean, that was powerful. Praise God. Praise God. Okay. Then before I shut this service down, those of you that would like prayer for a greater victory in the area of your faith. We've already prayed this at one time, but you might not have been here when we taught on faith. And you want to say, Pastor, I want to get the full meaning of what you're saying. I want the full understanding of how faith works in my heart. And I want a prayer of agreement with you, Pastor, that that's going to take place in my heart and life. Because I'm going to tell you, your faith is the difference between life and death. You've got to be fully persuaded. Hallelujah. You've got to grow in your faith because that is your victory. That is your weaponry. Otherwise, you are in harm's way. If you're believing wrong, you are in harm's way. Hallelujah. It would be like going into battle in Iraq and somebody just hands you a gun and didn't tell you the butt from the muzzle. You might pull the trigger and shoot yourself. You never can tell. But God wants you to be sure of your stand and trust in Him and the Word. So when I dismiss you, I want those of you to go that has to go. And those of you that want prayer in that last thing, I want you to come up here. I want to pray with you. So the rest of you are dismissed. Those of you that want prayer, come up here. Hallelujah. Don't hesitate. Okay. Amen. Right here. Praise God. Anybody else? Anybody else? Praise God. Feel free to come up. Don't hesitate. Hallelujah. You want me to come into an agreement with you. Your faith is going to grow. Your faith is going to be the type of faith that will bring victory in your life. Hallelujah. Don't hesitate. Hallelujah. Come on up. Praise God. Hallelujah.